God some praise. If you believe that, that there is no one that compares to Him. God, we understand. We understand that there is nothing, no experience, no event, no person, no relationship that could ever compare to You, to what You have for us, to a relationship with You, God. And we just thank You for the opportunity, God. We thank You, Lord, that You give us the right to step into a relationship with You, to step into Your presence, God. What a gift. What a gift to worship You, Lord. And we just say thank You, God. We say thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Why don't you guys give it up just one more time for the Lord that nobody compares to. Well, you guys must be living your lives right to get to be here this Sunday. I'm trying to figure out, you guys can be seated. But God must like the people in this room extra special, because you guys, are you guys ready to get saved like 8 times today? Are you guys expecting for God to move? Let me tell you guys something. I hope you're excited. I hope you're excited for what God is going to do. I have the honor and the privilege. You guys aren't ready. See, I'm looking. You guys aren't even ready. I have the honor and the privilege of introing our very first speaker, who happens to be a part of our youth group here at Gateway City Church. And she also happens to be a part of our youth group's internship program. And I've heard her message, and I want you guys to get ready and just open your hearts, because God is going to speak. God is going to speak through all these speakers. As a matter of fact, I just want to pray, God, would You just prepare our hearts for what You want to do today, God? We open up our hearts to You, we open up our ears to You, and we ask that You would just move mightily in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you guys welcome to the stage Heaven Klein.
Good morning, Gateway. Good morning. In my head, there was like 5 of you, and now there's a lot. Well, I'm Heaven Klein, and I'm going to start off today by showing you guys some images, and you guys are going to guess what they are. So, can we have the first image? So, does anyone know what this is? That was rhetorical. Please don't shout at me. All right, that image is actually this. This. Oh, I think you guys are getting the concept, but I'll do it one more time. Can we have the next image? Try to guess what this is. No one really knows. Yeah. That is actually this. Now, what was the point besides making everyone kind of confused? The point is that we were focused on such a small aspect of the picture that we didn't see the bigger one, the bigger picture. And while I just gave my title away kind of there, my title for this message is The Bigger Picture. Now, you're probably wondering, the bigger picture of what? And you're probably thinking it's like love or hope, but it's not. I went a little bit broader than that. I'm actually going to be talking to you guys today about the bigger picture of Christianity. And I got like 5 minutes left, so. So, we all do the normal Christian things, right? We pray, we worship, we tithe, we read our Bibles, we come to church every single Sunday. And those are all really important as Christians. But God has called us to do something even greater than that. Yeah, even greater. And that is the Great Commission. He called each and every one of us to go and make disciples. That is the bigger picture of Christianity. So I'm going to read to you the passage, Romans 10, 13 through 15. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So now us as Christians, we're all called, we're all sent, we're all appointed. There's no doubt about that. And He said to go and make disciples. That's our responsibility. And we do that by preaching, as it says in the message. But a lot of us can get a little bit scared when we hear the word preaching, right? I mean, most of people think when they say preaching is that you have to go to the nearest street corner, jump on something, and start yelling at people. And I mean, that worked for Apostle C because that guy is powerful. But just face it, most of us can't do that. And God didn't say that we have to do that. When you actually look up preaching, the definition is to advocate or make known the gospel. And the only requirement for that is talking. So the order goes like this. We are sent by God. We're all sent by God. And we preach to those around us. We teach to those we have influence over. And then once we preach, they can hear. And once they hear, they can start believing. And once they believe, they can call on the name of the God. Isn't that something really beautiful, Gateway? That is the bigger picture. But I also know that practically, how can we do this? I mean, we're all really busy. Because the first thing that's stopping us is our time. Can I just get a shout from all the parents in this room? Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously I'm not a parent, but I feel sorry for you guys. Parenting takes up time, a lot of time. Jobs take up time. Everything takes up time. Everything's about time nowadays. And so it can be hard to try to fit in something else along with everything else you have to do. But when you think about it, you don't have to be going to malls or other states or other countries to tell people about Jesus. All of us are surrounded by people every single day. I would know, I go to school with hundreds of kids every single day, and it's still challenging to talk to them. The second point is that another thing that's stopping us is our fear. Fear of being judged, fear of being criticized or rejected. And we were given that fear not by God, but by the devil. And if the devil doesn't want us to be going and making disciples, I think that's a clear indication that that is exactly what we should be doing. All right. And the third thing is that we just forget. We forget to look at the bigger picture. It slips our minds. It certainly slips my mind every single day when I'm around hundreds of kids I could be talking to. But when we come to realize how much we can change someone's life, how much we can influence somebody just by talking with them, everything, all those other fears, all those other concerns become less important. So if you guys didn't get anything out of my message today, please get this, Gateway. Is if I would much rather have to face my fears, have to have less time, but if I had missed the chance to get someone to the kingdom of God, then none of that is worth it. So I would like all of us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you in this room, if you want to be used by God, if you want God to work through you, then you don't have to stand up. You don't have to raise your hand. Then just ask him in your heart and he will give you that gift. So dear God, thank you for giving us this time to be able to come and learn about you, Lord God, and hear from all the rest of our amazing speakers. Lord God, I just pray that you give us the strength and the hope to know that we can do these things. We can be used by you. And I pray that you help us through our fears and you help us see the bigger picture. In Jesus' name.
Seriously now, I was just saying to Pastor April, I've known about you and seen you for years, you know? And honestly, I have not really been in your presence much since you were much younger. And I said to Pastor April, I didn't know that she became that. Oh, no, I'm serious. Girl, I know you already know this, but I just want to affirm what's inside of you. You got a call on you, girl. Did you hear that message? The heart of God? Oh, my gosh. The message, I mean, that's it right there. Oh, I'm thrilled. No less thrilled am I, you guys, to introduce somebody who's been a part of my life. Look at this. Oh, my gosh. This is Stephanie Guineau, you guys. She's become a part of the Lyft community, oh, about a year ago or so. I'm not sure if I'm accurate on that, but I know that she's become a force in our community by virtue of what's inside of her heart, you guys. And you're going to get a piece of that, and you're going to experience that, and you're going to be blessed by it. Open your hearts and experience this. Steph, I love you, and I'm looking forward to what you're going to do right now.
Thank you. Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm Stephanie, as he just said. I've been coming to Gateway for almost about a year now, and I really had like no church before this. So God really led me here. In the time that I've been here, I've learned a lot. I used to be somebody who was really paralyzed by fear and like I wouldn't go out, I wouldn't talk to anybody, but here I am now. And so this is just a testimony of how God has transformed my life with his love. I have a verse. I don't know if it's going to be up there. But so it's 1 John 4:18 through 19. Is it? Okay. So there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. We love because he first loved us. And then I think I use the New International Version. So fear. What is fear? It is anticipation or apprehension of danger. And it can feel like bondage. It can feel like you're trapped, like you're in a straitjacket. There's no way out, no escape. The enemy wants you to be fearful, as I have learned, because it becomes harder for you to step into who God wants you to be. If you're just caught up in fear and thinking, oh my goodness, and then you're never actually going to be like, oh my God, like my actual God. Fear can feel insurmountable. Like there's just simply like, it just feels like there's no way out. So I felt that way for a long time. There's a remedy for fear, and that is love. And more specifically, it's God's love. So love is the opposite of fear. It is devotion or deep attachment to someone or something. And in this case, the love is coming from God to us, and then we reciprocate with our love for him. It is the opposite. It's the light that chases away the darkness that you can feel. So if you feel afraid and you're stuck in this bubble of darkness, light will like crack through, and that's love. So I'll share a story with you guys really quickly. I used to work at a dog daycare. So I would be taking in dogs for day or night, and then the owner would come pick them up at a later date. We worked with all the dogs that other daycares had rejected. So we would get the aggressive dogs, we'd get the fearful dogs, we'd get the dogs that were sick, had other issues. So one day this woman came in with her dog. Her dog's name is Gracie. That is not intentional, by the way. So she came in, and Gracie is like maybe like 45 pounds. She's white. She's very cute, but she's shaking. And so the owner says, you know, I really hope that you guys can do something for my dog, because I have been other places. Nothing's working. So we took her in, and I had the pleasure of working with Gracie. So I was organizing playgroups for her, trying to find dogs that were calm, that wouldn't like instigate anything. But Gracie, she's like all the way like in the corner, like hiding, watching all the dogs, like they're gonna eat me. So it took a few months, but very gradually Gracie started to walk out of her corner into the room, and she started to actually, you know, it took a lot of patience, love, kindness, so showing God's love to his creation. But it was really, really, really great to see, because she is actually initiating contact, initiating play with other dogs, stuff that she never would have done before. And then one day her owner came to pick her up, and she was almost in tears because we sent her a video of Gracie. And she said, thank you so much. Like, my dog has a life now. I can take her to the vet. She doesn't get so scared. I can walk her. She meets other dogs. She's not so scared. You know, I can take her to the dog park. I can, like, have a life with my dog instead of thinking, like, oh, no, Gracie can't do that. So in preparing that story for you guys, I realized that I really used to be Gracie. I used to be that dog. I was the one in the corner of the room, like, cowering, shaking, like, oh, my gosh, there are people here, and they're all going to eat me. really encourage you, if you are feeling that type of fear, to pursue God's love. And to be covered by his grace. Because when I felt as fearful as Gracie, the only thing that could get me out of that was God's love. There was just nothing else that could bring me out of it. And so with, you know, for her, the thing that brought her out of it was obviously like the love that we showed her. But I'm getting my love from God. And so that was really... okay, in short, you can live a fuller life with the love of Jesus inside of you, and I encourage you to drive out fear that will hold you back. So, thank you.
Let's stay right here. Come on, man. I just really want you to know, man, that like impacted me. That impacted me. And it's clear to me that the enemy tried to hold you back with fear because he knew how powerful you were going to be in impacting other people's lives. Thank you for pushing through and doing this today. Amazing job. Thank you. Wow. I'm like getting distracted down there. I'm like forgetting my cues. Okay. So this next speaker is a double threat, because she is a powerful, anointed worship leader. She was actually worshiping up here today. And she is a gifted communicator. And she is just such an amazing part of the youth group, of our church, of my and Pastor April's lives. I just want you guys to welcome up Cherish.
Hi, so my name is Cherish, and I serve on the worship team in our youth group Reality. And I just want to say it's an honor to serve under Pastor Jordan and Pastor April, and to be here talking right now. So the topic of what I'm going to be talking about is worship, obviously. Just kidding, no. And the title is To Worship is to Serve. So everyone has, like, papers, and I'm up here with my phone, but it's notes. I'm not, like... texting someone. So I'm going to start off with the verse, and it's 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 29, and it is this. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And this version's kind of intense. So it sounds intense, but basically what it's saying is that God chooses even the lowest of the lowest to glorify his name, you know? And so who here loves to worship? So I got saved 3-4 years ago, and when I first got saved, worship was like my main way of worship, you know, like singing worship songs. That was my main way of expressing my love and gratitude towards God, and that was my way of connecting and worshiping. And so a few months passed by, and I was encouraged to join try out for the worship team. And I've had many bad past experiences on stage singing in front of people. So I was like, oh, no, thank you. Not again. But after praying and after asking God, like, this was the direction that God wanted me to go in. And this was where God wanted me to serve. And it was hard, but I did it. And to be completely real, it's been rough. Like, it's been good. It's been really good serving God, but it's been rough because I've had so many doubts. I've messed up so many times, and it's like, ugh. And I've seen so many other people who seem more equipped, more worthy, more fit to be doing what I'm trying to do for God. And I just had to realize that it's not about me. It's not about my skills, and it's not about how great I am or what I can do, you know? And God doesn't measure us by our imperfections, but he measures us by how much he loves us, you know? And I just had to realize that. And during that season in my life when God was like, serve, you know, serve in this area. This is where I want you to serve. All I wanted to do was worship. I'm like, no, God, I'm a worshiper. Like, let me just be in the congregation and worship and spend time with you. And that's important, yes. But when he calls you to serve, it's not our jobs to be perfect, but it's our jobs to humble ourselves and say, okay, God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to put what you want me to do first. Yeah, I'm going to put your thoughts first, your desires first, and just like, sorry, saying like a lot. But and if I were to glorify my insecurities and my failures, he wouldn't be able to use me, you know? And it's crazy because time and time again, God has shown and told me and all of us that he doesn't look at those things. He doesn't look at the things that we're worried about, like whether we're worthy or not, because we're not, you know? So, and back to the verse, 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world. And the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So our worship is to bring him glory. And so when we are called to serve, it's not our job to be perfect, once again. And earlier I mentioned God's love for us, and I just want to let you know that God does love us. He loves us so much that he died on the cross for us. And I just want to pray for anyone who wants to know about God's love, who wants to dedicate their lives to worship God through serving, who wants to come before God humbly and to serve him, to worship him. So, yeah, I'm going to pray. So, Father God, I just thank you for this time where I get to speak to your people, to this congregation. And I just ask that you open each of our hearts, that you humble each of us to receive the things that you want to give to us, to receive the blessings, to receive even the discipline, just your love, Lord, your love that comes with all good things. And we just thank you for all that you're doing. And I ask that you just come right now and that you just touch each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Cherish, I get a picture like of a car, you know what I mean? That's like sitting in the garage and it's like covered up by one of these old tarps kind of thing, you know, or maybe a nice cover or whatever. But there's, you know, what's underneath that is this powerful, strong, equipped car that is just going to bring some joy and it's going to bring some power into somebody's life. That's not you, Cherish, but that's God's presence inside you. That's the car. And what you're doing today is you are talking about, you're testifying, you're giving glory to God and bearing witness to the fact that you're taking off that cover and you're understanding where the action is at and you're going close to it, and just great days ahead for you, girl. Yes. Y'all are in for a treat. Y'all are in for a treat. I just want to say that, sorry, man, I have good parents make good kids. You know what I mean? And you come from a family. I'm talking about Seth Nagel here, you guys. Seth Nagel, if you know him. Brother, you are just full of love. You're full of solid life. You are full of the spirit and the presence of God and the love to bring that to his people. And I'm just looking forward to seeing you go. He's going to do a little bit of a spoken word, which means I'm getting this out of the way.
So this piece is really on the struggles that I've undergone in my young walk in Christ, and it's battling the questions and the doubts, and I guess this kind of targets the Thomases of the congregation. Okay. Let me start from the beginning. See, I was puzzled, broken in pieces, longing to be filled and completed by this man named Jesus, because no other piece would fit. Not the friends, the Jezebels, the sex, my wrongs, my rights. See, because I became good at wrestling the sheets of restless nights, scratching and teething at a war waging on a battlefield placed in between my ears, scars being inflicted, claiming victory over my peace of mind. And this thing that beats inside my chest is no friend of mine, because there becomes times where I can hardly breathe. Times where I can hardly see past the drapes of my depression, because every time that you bless me, I curse you. Every time that you love on me, I hurt you. And my fist clutched fabric is I could hardly look up to heaven, but I mean I'm overcome and your presence completely defeated. The suicidal thoughts have become more than tendencies, but rather a faint-skinned girl whose arms like twined rope long to hug around my neck like a noose. And even when I can't see past the accusations in my mind, let alone feel you, I serve you, and I don't deserve you, Because when I have left, you've always been there for me, knowing every single one of my needs, but these voices inside my head, they're tearing away at me. Please tell me this is just a season. The four corners of my mind are plagued by bubonic doubts. Boils become rigid landscapes depriving me of harvest, valleys springing from every mountain of questions, and I feel like I've got no answers. My faith feels as though it's hanging on by a thread, and the soles of my feet are giving out on me, but where can I run from your presence? Lord, don't you see I'm not trying to run? It's just every demon in my head wants me to betray you with a kiss. And as I go rummaging through my trash can of a mirror for Seth, all I see is Judas. See, I know I failed you again. I'm just too coward to raise these white flag hands of mine to surrender. And my shins are becoming pruned to the water of validation because I'm knees deep in a river of my own splendor. My joints are the central access point that keep my egotistical, selfish spirit self-centered when I was called to be a disciple that overcomes these seasons of winter, but I feel as though I'm a piece of dead meat. Roadkill, seasoned by lies with a side of fear. And I sink your lips to the beat of my heart because my spirit is drawn to the movement of your mouth as though you're trying to tell me how much you love me. With my palms over my ears, I can't hear anything but these questions. I can't hear anything but these questions. My child, let me uproot those palm trees of hands that have taken root inside the canal which my word of truth flows down. It's far beyond a problem of deaf ears. Your spirit testifies to you that when death played its chords for 3 days, I was simply resting my legs because later I'd dance upon that grave which could not hold me, which could not separate me from you. I see you. I saw my disciples in their storm as they were straining at the oar. So I see you now as your ears dance to the strum of the devil's chords, but no more can the gates of hell prevail because no weapon formed against you can prosper. You're a child of mine. I set you apart from your mother's womb, just as I separated every last hair from your scalp, tallying every follicle from its root. And yes, I am an author, the author and finisher of your faith. And just as the seasons change and the tidal waves wave goodbye to yesterday's pains, you were crucified upon that cross with me, where I made your feeble body naked before shame and completely clothed you and covered you in grace. So son, just seek my face, my child. Where you were vulnerable, I clothed you. Consider the wildflowers, for they do not question, nor labor, nor spin. And not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like this, but I'm willing to give over every last piece of my skin to cover your sin and clothe you. It wasn't easy for me, but I chose you. And it's understood that my love extends well outside the borders of what you deserve. But nonetheless, I brought to the table of sinners that love is not an adjective, but a verb. When I received the lashings where you couldn't take them and the nails where you couldn't bear them, as my flesh became your protective shell, I exchanged my heavenly throne for your crown of thorns. And when I exhaled my spirit, I inhaled your hell. And my blood sits table side like a glass of wine where a seed has been made out for you with your father's seed. Dear price is paid. And when the evil one whispers in your ear today, I want you to stop and look back at that rolled away stone where I divorced the grave. See, a covenant was made when I removed that veil before you, my bride. Don't you see? I haven't left. I live in you, and the enemy's snare couldn't hold me. The only picture he has hung on his wall is my linen sleeping bag that was tossed aside the stone I laid upon. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I chose you. So child, don't give up. Keep praying. Close your ears to what the world, your flesh, and the enemy are saying, because is warring add yet another hour to your life? No, but it's the faith the size of mustard seed that moves mountains. Why do you seem so caught off guard when I told you there were going to be mountains, but don't think I'm going to leave you in this valley? Because I'm a great shepherd that's got every last one of my sheep tallied, so pick up your cross and deny your questions. Just as I showed Thomas the nail-ridden caverns of my hands, I need you to calm down for just 1 second. Don't you dare get so caught up with not feeling my presence. You forget that I'm ever present, but blessed are those who believe without seeing. So carry on, because I've gone before you to prepare a place to rest. And when you lose your sense of direction, all you got to do is look north to me for the transgressions of your south to be removed as far as the east is from the west. And one day when my word in you, like the rain from my footstool, waters this earth and makes it bud and flourish, from the very purpose I have sent it out to be accomplished is completed, then you will see my face. Wrapped in the blanketed arms of my graces, I complete your story. So child, I know what you're struggling with. I'm with you in the oceans of doubts. Just know that this is undergoing present suffering for my future glory.
Come here, Seth. Come here. That was unbelievable. Seth, I want to ask you. That was so powerful. How did that start in your life? You're doing spoken word. How does that come to you? What's
your process? Well, I mean, for starters, I mean, I got radically saved at the beginning of this year. So, I'm talking like completely, just like I'm blown away at what God's just doing in my life and the people around me. In fact, that's where a lot of this obviously comes from. But you know, there's just things that I'm learning. One, how filthy I am. How gracious He is, and how the enemy works. And I noticed that the enemy just likes to get me right here, with the questions and the doubts. And as I search Scripture and you know, lay my questions in light of Scripture, I started to notice. I was like, you know, I'm a lot like Thomas. I can see everything that God has done in my life and how He's radically transformed me and changed me, and yet I still play into the doubts and the questions. And this was just a word of encouragement to those people that feel like they're drowning in a sea of just doubts and anger and frustration. And it just kind of actually came from vulnerability in the heart and a bit of a testimony. So,
Seth, I think you're supposed to pray for people in this moment, because there's something on you right now that is reaching into people's hearts, because we all have those doubts. We all have those fears. You're not alone in that. And you're not filthy, because you're a child of God. You've been cleansed. But I relate to that feeling, you know, of shame, and it works in us because we are broken and we do doubt and we do fail. But I just want Seth to pray for us. And today, if you're wrestling with shame or fear or doubt, I just want you to believe that Jesus is going to touch you in this moment. Would you all just bow your heads, and Seth, just freely pray for me.
Heavenly Father, God, so humbled and honored to even stand before you, God. Unworthy of what you're doing in your lives, nonetheless, you still give it to us, God. Despite how foolish and despite how we wrestle with questions and doubts, God, Lord, you still shower us with your love, God, a foundation that is so strong that we cannot be shaken on, Lord. Lord, we lift up the questions and the doubts, God. And every single head in this room, God, Lord, everybody that feels as though they're struggling with it right now, God, you know exactly where they're at, Lord, and what you've called them to be, God, Lord. And you told them that the only place they need to fit in is in your arms, God, Lord. We pray right now, God, that you would just impart your peace and your rest upon every weary mind in this place, God, Lord. Where everybody hungers and thirsts for righteousness, God, we pray that you would just give them your bread, God, Lord. Just display your glory in them, God. Shine through them, God. Make us transparent, Lord, so that we could see what's broken in us, God, in the darkness in us, God, Lord, so that your light could shine through, God, Lord. You know every single one of us in this room and everything that we need, God. So we pray, Lord, that you would just intercede right now in all of the questions, the wrestling, and the doubts, God, and meet our needs, God. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray this. Amen.
Good job. Good job. Wow. Can we tell all four of these young people they did a tremendous job? Come on. Come on. Give it up. 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 Wow. Something's happening here in this room, and I hate to break it off, but we're going to close in just a few minutes. You're welcome to come back to the second service, and I'm just going to ask if maybe the ones that spoke, could we do this today? Would you guys be available up here to pray with people? The ones that didn't speak and the ones that, all the speakers, would you guys be the prayer team today along with a few others? I think there may be some people that want to connect with you at the end of the service, and you know, your needs are very important, and I believe God has brought you here to this place, not by accident, but because He specifically wants to do a work in your life. And
I'm so proud of what God is doing through these young people's lives. I think about the vision of our church, inspiring transformed lives. And for me, that's not just three words. That's the heart of what we're all about. And it's happening. It's happening in the youth group. Thank you, Pastor Jordan and April, for everything you're doing. John and Micah, thank you for what you're doing with young adults. And to every life group leader and every elder and every musician and to everyone, that's you're creating this atmosphere where stuff like this can go on, where people that are afraid are being changed. People that were quiet are finding their voice. People that were far away from God are being drawn near by the powerful, powerful Holy Spirit. And that's just what it's really all about. You say, what do you guys do at Gateway? Well, this is what we do. We work together to see people's lives changed. And that, how many think that's a great thing? That's a great thing. And that is not possible. You know, that's not due to the work of, you know, staff members or what. God moves through our staff and our leaders and our, you know, everybody. But this is His work. This is something that only He could do. And I'm so glad you're a part of it. I can tell you I'm glad I'm a part of it. And I love seeing God change people's lives. That's what a church should strive to be, a place where this kind of thing can happen. So if you're wondering, what's a church like Gateway all about? What do you guys do? This is it. We want to see people grow strong. We want to see them find their voice. We want them to meet Jesus and become everything that God has called them to be, no matter who they are, what their age is. So thank the Lord for your giving. Thank the Lord for your prayers. And thank the Lord for your participation in what is happening here. We're going to close with some worship, just to kind of put the cherry on top. And as we worship the Lord, the ushers will serve you. Those of you that are giving by envelope today, you can drop that in the offering basket. Thank you to everyone who's giving online and through the app and so on. You're a part of this process. And I can't wait to see what God is going to do in your life as together we are inspiring, transformed lives. Let's worship together for a moment.
Lord, that we are children of the Most High God. Let's sing it together. Who the sun sets free.
Who the sun sets free. Oh, it's free.
Hallelujah. Well, we're going to give you an opportunity to connect. That would be a great next step for each and every one of you. If you're looking for spiritual help, if you want to give yourself to Christ, if you want to invite Christ into your life, you can come up and talk to any of these young people or any of us here at the front. We'll help you to do that. If you need healing prayer, we have faith that God will heal you and touch you in a supernatural way. So you can connect here at the front. But also, all the information counters are available in the lobby. They can connect you to a small group, to a ministry, to some of the events that you heard about. So please stop by the information counters. And if you're interested in being a life group leader or learning more about what that looks like, we want you to come. What have you got to say?
He's always got something to say. I come up here to ask for prayer, and now I know what happened. What happened is a Greek 5 hurricane was to hit Honolulu, and it was one of the worst kind, 170 mile an hour winds. Of course, there'd be no planes leaving San Jose for Hawaii. I had my ticket to leave yesterday. We changed it Tuesday. I got a text today that said, your prayers are answered. 5 pastors called, and thousands and millions who are praying. They said, ask God to turn the hurricane east and not hit the island in that impact. All there is now is flooding and 50, 60, 70 inches of rain. But by the time I get there, it'll all be kind of easier. And prayer works. What you've seen and what you heard is answered to their parents' prayers, to this church's prayers. A true generational church will produce some Dwight L. Moody's, some Billy Sundays, some Oral Roberts. Listen, there is no telling if you get involved and you really become a team with the pastor, you will see your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, and you will see your life flourish.
Hallelujah. And we're going to pray. As we close, we're going to pray for Apostle C and Sister C. They're traveling to speak at a conference there with a couple thousand people. And so he's not heading off for vacation, although that wouldn't be bad. But the whole point was he wants to be used by God. So we're going to close in prayer. And if you need to connect in the lobby or here at the front, we're going to encourage you to do that. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for how you've touched us and how you've helped us. Our prayer today is that each of us would bear the fruit that you have called us to bear, Lord. You would use our lives, Lord, in marvelous ways. We pray for Apostle and Sister C as they travel to speak in this conference, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would give them safe passage. Let that conference be an amazing success for thousands of people, Lord. Let the kingdom of God come and the will of God be done, Lord. Bless each person here, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. And take a minute. Don't rush out the door if you don't have to. Take a minute. Say hello. Connect at the counters. Connect here at the front.